Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, if you listen to this, it's going to liberate you inside. And when we are free inside and liberated by the Lord and by His truth, it comes out, okay, right? Just like a bad attitude or sinful things that we think about, they're gonna come out. Jesus says, "Where do these things come from? They come from our heart within us." And so, when He puts good things in and frees us from the old or the bad, what's gonna come out? It's gonna be these good things that are gonna show up. And I want to talk to you this morning. And remind us about the very topic of forgiveness. And there's a book that was authored by Ken Sandy called The Peacemaker. And he says this. He says, Christians are the most forgiven people in all the world. Therefore, we should be, Christians, the most forgiving people in all the world. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul writes, and he says this to the believers there in Colossae. And he says to them, bear with each other. Now, I'm not going to elaborate too greatly on this, but bear with each other. In other words, it's going to take some effort. You're going to have to strive. This is going to be faith in action. This is going to probably take some restraining on your part. There's going to be some toleration, okay? Though you are believers and believe upon Christ, and we believe in His Word, and we know some of the principles of His Word, and we adhere to them the best that we can, the reality is we're still human. You were created human, and sin came. And, you know, that sinful nature that we're to crucify, the born again of the Spirit, truth of the Scripture, the sowing to the Spirit, not to our fleshly attitude or the old way of life. You know, it says bear with one another. There, in certain areas of our life, we're not all at the same place. We will agree that we need to be transformed, but some of us have maybe progressed in another area than one, or progressing in one area for someone is a little bit easier than maybe another person who in the same area haven't progressed as much in their life. And so we got to bear with one another. And there are things that we can find sometimes offensive in someone else, or we wish or think they should be further along in their faith, things like that, or where people feel that way about me or you. We got to bear with one another. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in each other's life. It doesn't mean that there isn't a time that, you know, we need to have a conversation with somebody. We need to sort some things out. We need to move ahead in encouragement and in gentleness. Paul writes, he says, bear with each other and forgive whatever. Say whatever. That leaves a whole lot of room, by the way. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Then the verse continues into the next verse, and he says this, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgiveness. I mean, as a believer, you know, forgiveness is a huge deal to us. We want to be forgiven by the Lord. And we know that we are called and directed by scriptures throughout the whole book about about forgiveness and forgiving other people. And so, you know, as a believer, we don't really ever want to have these words come out of our lips, you know. I do not forgive you. You know, we just, it's so contrary to the Lord and what he has called us to, what he's done for us to free us. And yet we don't forgive someone else. That is in such a conflict of what a Christian is. Forgiveness. It's an issue that for all of us that it takes effort, it takes forethought, it takes monitoring our own heart. It involves making a decision of this is the platform and foundation from how I'm going to look at life and look at relationships. Instead of, well, we'll see what happens and how great the injustice is or the wrong is or the disappointment is, and then I'll kind of work out, you know, if I'm going to forgive or how much I'm going to forgive or how much I'm going to forgive but still look at them in a less than desirable outlook or treat them differently as if there is no forgiveness. You know, it's interesting. I've observed something that can be at work in humanity. And it's when humanity, who believe in the Lord, seriously want to forgive someone. It's sincere. They want to forgive them. They struggle with it. It's hard. It becomes a decision and a process because we know that it's the right thing to do is to forgive based upon the scripture and who God is. And it's interesting that though we pray sincerely to forgive and help with it, and then we forgive, but it's interesting that we treat forgiveness as if it was an event. And what happens is we forgive in our mind and we feel like we forgive in our heart. But the injustice or the disappointment or the hurt or anger that resulted of what was ever done to us, we still walk in life as if we are still, that the hurt and disappointment have now shaped our attitude and outlook as a person. And now we live like that. When forgiveness, yes, it is a decision, it is an event that we forgive. It's a time and place that we do it. But then we're supposed to be able to walk with that forgiveness. It's supposed to also empower us who have been hurt to walk and live now as if we've not been hurt. Instead of saying, I forgive, but now, because that happened, I'm going to kind of be on a real, real ledge. I can get harsh quick. I can get critical quick. I can get negative quick. I can be a hater real quick. Or I've got an attitude against this person or these type of people or this group of people because that's the kind of person or group of people that hurt me before that I forgave. But from that point forward, I still have an attitude towards that. Or it can put me over the edge quick. See, the forgiveness isn't supposed to just set us free, you know, from having unforgiveness. It's supposed to also heal and change us that we are free to live as we should as a person who has been forgiven and who forgives. We stop it as one event. You know, when we go for example, for like surgery, you know, we something happened, we need surgery. We go through surgery, the surgery's over. And then you don't just say, hey, thanks, see ya. I mean, that's kind of how some of our attitudes can be, including mine. Thank you, I'll be fine now. But the reality is that after that, the specialist usually comes in, and what do? They start to give you some directives, right? Don't lift over 10 pounds. for, you know, 3 weeks or 6 weeks. If you're a man, you know, you want a prescription written that says, hey, you just had surgery, you can't do housework ever. It's part of your recovery. It's your rehabilitation. You know, they give you limitations, okay? Don't do this. Yes, you can do this. No, you can't do this yet. You know, you need to play by the rules. So the surgery happened, but now we need to learn how to live from that event and surgery so that we become healthy. So that a quality of life hopefully returns to us that we had prior to the injury, prior to the disease. And so when it comes to forgiveness, I'd like you to consider that maybe we could look at it this way. Something happened. I needed to do the surgery. I needed to forgive. Okay, I died to myself. The bitterness and resentment, I had it removed. I forgive. And now I need to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit says to me, what the great physician, Jesus, says to me on how I'm supposed to live now and rehab now and change my mind, my attitude, so that I don't wind up back here, right, dealing with resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, being critical, being harsh, all those things that kind of go with unforgiveness. I mean, who wants to go back in for the same surgery again because we didn't do the follow-up right? Who wants that? In forgiveness, we got to follow up. We got to listen to the Lord. How do I stay free and become healthy so that I don't live under, you know, the influence of why I had the surgery? Well, I don't live under the influence of what I forgave. It's like, I don't know, you become a woman hater because your wife cheated on you. Now you just got a bad attitude and outlook towards women. I forgave her. I forgave my wife. Or I forgave my first wife. I forgave, but you walk around with an attitude and a demeanor and a criticalness of women. You forgave, but you never got fixed. Forgiveness and forgiving is supposed to also not free us from the entanglements but of resentment, but the entanglements of that whatever, however we were hurt, that we look at life through that hurt now. And we respond in relationship. Or we're quick to get an attitude. See, as a believer, we're forgiven. We're to forgive. And we're supposed to live free of all the stuff that unforgiveness tries to hold on to us with, deter us with, keep us flawed. There's an interesting letter that Paul writes. It's to a man named Philemon. And Philemon, you know, it's that book, it's one chapter. Okay, I think it's 25 verses. And, you know, when you look at other books throughout the Bible and New Testament, you read them and you think, man, he's telling us how to live. He's telling us how to deal with this. Ooh, I feel convicted over this. Oh, look at this doctrine here that we believe. Look at what, you know, Paul writes and look at, what Jesus said and how Jesus did it and how people respond to him and how he dealt with them. We learn all this life stuff. And we read Philemon and it's kind of just this letter and we kind of go, it's nice. I know it's in there. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But I don't know. I want you to know that this letter has a high impact for a variety of reasons, but one has to do with forgiveness. Paul writes the Philemon, and he says to him in this letter that Onesimus, who was formerly Philemon's slave, now catch this, Onesimus was Philemon's slave. Something happened that created a problem between Philemon and Onesimus. And Philemon had, in human terms, a reason to be unforgiving and not want to deal with Onesimus and be offended by him, and something went down. And so Onesimus, who's no longer with Philemon, somehow Onesimus and Paul connect. And Onesimus becomes a brother in good standing in the faith. And Paul has found value in Onesimus. And what Onesimus, in his faith, and kind of became a son in the faith to Paul and a brother in the faith. And so what happens is Paul writes this letter to Philemon. And he tells Philemon, listen, greetings, as Paul usually does in all his letters. And then he gets kind of to the point. And he begins to convey to Philemon that Onesimus, I'm sending back to you, who maybe Philemon just never even wanted to see the person again. You know how that goes, right? With unforgiveness. He says, Philemon, I am sending Onesimus back to you. And I'm sending him back to you not as a slave, but I want you to treat him like a Christian brother. A brother. Whatever happened, I'm sending him back to you now, and there is value in him to the kingdom of God in our lives and in the ministry, and some other benefits in the flesh, in other words, practical benefits. But he says, Philemon, I am sending Onesimus back to you, but not as a slave, but as a brother. I want you to look at this, or listen to this very key phrase in the book of Philemon. It's verse 8 that Paul's writing. And he's writing Philemon and he says, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I want you to catch this phrase. Paul is saying, listen, I'm an apostle of the Lord. I've encountered an experience with Jesus. He has made me an apostle. He has called me. I have studied his word. I plant churches. I write letters to church leaders. All the credentials are there for Paul. And Paul is also an elder to Philemon. And he says to Philemon, listen, I'm sending him back to you, and I want you to receive him like a brother. Now, I could command you to do this because it is what is required. I mean, we can look throughout the scripture about forgiveness. And Paul could, within his right as an apostle, require it of Philemon. Say, listen, this is your obligation. This is required of you. You're to receive him back, and you receive him back as a brother. You must forgive him. Paul would have been right. Paul states that I have the right to do that, Philemon, but what I would rather do is I would rather appeal to you. See, here's the difference. Aaron, you're sitting here. Aaron, there's somebody who hurt you, and it wasn't right, and I don't know whether they stole from you or they treated you unjustly, whatever it is, okay? And Aaron, I'm aware of it, and I come to you and I say, listen, God has forgiven you in your life. And it says that if God has forgiven us, that we're supposed to forgive other people. That if we want forgiveness in our life, we're supposed to forgive other people. I mean, you look at the Lord's Prayer. Forgive me my sins as I forgive others. You understand that if we don't forgive others, there's not forgiveness for us. Jesus talks about these parables. He talks about the servant who was brought in and he was forgiven of a great debt. And then he goes out to somebody who owes him and he doesn't forgive the man who owes him. And then he finds out just for that, there's no forgiveness for you anymore. I mean, I could tell you that, Aaron. I could say, listen, You want to be with the Lord? You want to follow Jesus? And you're not going to forgive this person? Then you need to know the harsh reality. Then you won't be forgiven. So listen, it's required of you to forgive. And I, as a pastor, as your pastor, I'm commanding that of you. And I have the right because it's the Scripture. And I'm your pastor, and I'm one of the spiritual leaders in your life. And I'm telling you that this is what the Scripture says. And I'm telling you, Aaron, you forgive them. I command it. It's required. And under obligation, Aaron would be going, I don't want to forgive this guy. Now, who do you, pastor, to be telling me what to do? And you know, I don't like being told what to do. And I love the Lord, and the Lord understands, and He knows what happened, and I've been treated, and I'm not for. Or Aaron says, I know it's what the Bible teaches. Fine. I'll forgive the guy. Well, he does it out of obligation. Because I really kind of rammed it to him, you know, just. Paul says, I could do that. Philemon, I could command this of you as an apostle of the Lord and as a spiritual leader in your life. I could command you and require it. But rather than that, I'm going to appeal to you out of the sake of love. He says to him, I'm bold enough to in Christ to command you to do as required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. See, an appeal would be like this. Aaron, I'm aware of what's happened between you and so-and-so. I know that wasn't right. And I'm sorry that happened to you. But I want to encourage you because I know that your faith is sincere in the Lord. And I don't want you to be tripped up. My concern is for you. I want to encourage you to work through this and come to a place to forgive this person. Man, I want you to be so filled with the love of the Lord that you can forgive others like the Lord forgave you. I want to encourage you to do it. I'm going to be praying for you. And if you need something, you need to talk through it, I'll be a friend to you. You see, that's an appeal. Do you see the difference? Which one do you like better? Number one or number two? Door one or door two? See, here's the beauty of the appeal. One, I can burden him with the truth. And say, okay, you want to be right with the Lord? Then you better do this. If not, you're not forgiven, dude. And woe to you and your future and eternity. I have just obligated him. You know how this goes as a parent. You tell your child, listen, I'd really like for you to go and do this, and it's some kind of chore thing, you know, and you know, I'm your dad. I don't ask you to do much around here, but, you know, can you? And they go, by the way, they got that from you when you were a kid, even though they weren't around yet. It's just this genetic thing. And that does not skip a generation. Yeah. And so they go and do it, finally, you know, and they just, it's just this huge chore, and, you know, you gave him the whole, you're my child, you know, you should do this for your dad, blah, blah, blah. And then there's those moments where you say, hey, listen, you know, you kind of do the same thing. Can you help me with this? And they just go, hey, yeah, no problem. I'll go do it right now. I don't know whose child you are, but you can live with me, you know. I don't know, where'd my children go? No, anyhow. You know, we go through the moment, we go, wow, they're really mature. Boy, they're just honoring. They're doing so. And they did it because they love you. It's not like they love the chore. Oh, yeah, I want to go clean the dog kennel. Who gets excited about that? If you do, don't write me. Just keep doing your kennel or you can come over and help me out. Anyhow, you know, it's, wow. And it's just like, I appealed to them and they did it because they love me. You see, when Paul did this and he made the appeal to Philemon, he gave Philemon an opportunity to do what's right without obligation and to express his faith and to allow the love of the Lord to overcome him and be able to do this in the right spirit. Not do it under compulsion or obligation, but rather out of love. You see, that's what the appeal does, opposed to commanding. And so when it comes to forgiveness, listen, as your pastor, I don't want to stand up here and say, listen, you have unforgiveness towards somebody in your life. I don't need to know the story. You don't need to tell me how badly you were hurt. You don't need, you know, because somebody else has got a story similar to yours, worse than yours, you know, however we gauge this stuff. Listen, let's get to the principle. You're supposed to forgive. So I, as your pastor, I command you in the name of the Lord, this is what's required, and I'm concerned about your spiritual welfare. I'm not doing it to be mean, but I'm telling you, you go forgive that person. No, I'd rather appeal to you. So you know how much the Lord loves you and what he's done? You know the verses about forgiveness. I really don't want this to trip you up inside. I want you to be free as the Lord intended. And I want you to be healed from it. So I want to encourage you. Would you consider working this out with the Lord to bring about the beautiful work of forgiveness in your life? Now I left room for you to go, okay, I got to work this out with the Lord. I got to forgive, and I want to forgive, and Lord, I need your help. We just learned to, Lord, I need your help to love them in this manner, to forgive them, and to be healed. Not walk through the rest of my life injured or distracted, hindered in some way where I don't live life right because I'm still affected by what they did, even though I forgave them. I'm not doing the follow-up work. I'm not doing the rehab work. I'm not going through the physical or spiritual therapy work. We got to follow up. We got to get through this. And so I want to encourage you this morning. You know, as we go to communion, we're supposed to examine our life. Paul writes it. We're supposed to examine our life before we eat the bread and drink the cup so we can do it in a worthy manner. Lord, in other words, is there something in my life that you want to bring to my attention that I need to ask forgiveness for before I eat the bread and drink the cup? Because I want to recognize your body and blood and what you've done for me to purchase my forgiveness. And then come to a point where we say, okay, now is there somebody or people that I need to forgive? Listen, the forgiveness probably really isn't so much for them as it is for you to forgive, to set yourself free from a spiritual device that's at work. It's a devious thing, unforgiveness. It's come to a place where I need to forgive. Yeah, but they deserve. Yeah, I know. So do you. So do I. Listen, the Lord is not calling us to anything that he hasn't done. The Holy Spirit isn't calling us to anything that he has not done himself. I mean, do you understand how much, how many grievances the Holy Spirit has forgiven you and I for? I mean, Holy Spirit inspired this through Paul. This book, Philemon, this beautiful letter of Paul that talks to Philemon, say, listen, you need to receive this guy as a Christian brother. No longer as a slave. Because as a master over the slave, you could make life really hard for him and feel justified because he's the slave and you're the master. Paul says, don't take him back as a slave. Take him back as a Christian brother. I appeal to you, in the love of God, forgive him. Forgiveness is a beautiful thing when we recognize it empowers us to move on in life without carrying the lingering influence of what's been happened to us, even though we forgave them. I want you to be free. I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life to free us. And we've got to cooperate with him. He wants to do the surgery. We know we need it. We know what's required. We know it can be commanded of us. But the gentleness of the Holy Spirit and the Lord just say, I'm appealing to you. Will you, on your own fruition, your own initiative, step forward in the love of God and forgive and be free?
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.